A stamp for Margaret Mee. A stamp for Ruth Benedict. Coming up on the Rainbow Minute.
When you're young and straight and you're in a new relationship, you can talk about it with your friends and ideally your family. But being gay or bi, you probably won't have the same support for your queer relationship that straight kids have for theirs.
Young people are the future of the world.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. The U.S. political crisis features queer foes and justice fighters. The love and culture of Mead and Benedict fills more than a rainbow minute. And queer teens get support to survive the dating years. All that and more this week, now that you found This Way Out.
I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm John Dyer V.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the 3 weeks ending January 9th, 2021.
We're going to the Capitol to take back our country.
The seditious pro-Trump riot that stormed the U.S. Capitol and the Georgia runoff elections that shifted power in Congress showed the clash of realities in the nation's politics. Just the night before the January 6th insurrection, bent on overturning the results of the presidential election, Georgia Democrats Reverend Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff won seats in the U.S. Senate. Warnock pastors Atlanta's historic Ebenezer Baptist Church, Martin Luther King Jr.'s old post. He and Ossoff become the state's first Black and first Jewish U.S. senators. They each defeated Trump-supporting Republican incumbents and are both queer-supportive. Democrats now control the U.S. Senate for the first time since 2008. It means that anti-queer Republican Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky will be replaced by pro-equality Democrat Chuck Schumer of New York. President-elect Joe Biden has already signaled that he'll reverse all of the anti-LGBTQ policies and statutes of the Trump administration. With his support and a narrow Democratic majority in the House, prospects for the enactment of pro-queer legislation have skyrocketed.
The Capitol siege, incited by the outgoing president, was finally the end for some Trump loyalists, including South Carolina's confirmed bachelor, Senator Lindsey Graham. His defection earned him a verbal assault from Trump minions at a D.C. airport. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos led a number of Trump appointees jumping the sinking ship. DeVos was famously unqualified for the position and will be remembered for her vehement opposition to the rights of transgender students. The American Federation of Teachers said of her departure simply, "Good riddance." Mitch McConnell's wife, Elaine Chao, resigned as Trump's transportation secretary. Gay ex-presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg has been nominated for that post in the Biden administration. Trump's openly gay acting chair of the White House Council of Economic Advisers, Tyler Goodspeed, is also getting out. His appointment in July was trumpeted by the LGBTQ log cabin Republicans, but there's been no peep from the group since the coup attempt at the Capitol. At least 9 members of the Trump administration and several national security officials have tendered their resignations as of January 8th.
LGBTQ groups are among the chorus of voices demanding Trump's immediate removal from office if he refuses to resign. Under the 25th Amendment, the vice president and a majority of the cabinet can remove an unfit or unable president, which may be the real reason cabinet members are escaping. Failing that action, the U.S. House of Representatives can initiate a second impeachment trial. More than 25 queer rights groups signed onto a letter issued by the media advocacy group GLAAD that says, "As LGBTQ organizations and movement leaders, we call for the immediate and unequivocal removal of Donald Trump as President of the United States via the invoking of the 25th Amendment or by impeachment if necessary. We cannot afford to sustain even another day with this destructive and seditious man in the White House." Gay Congressman David Cicilline of Rhode Island and Mondaire Jones of New York are helping to write a new single-issue article of impeachment charging Trump with inciting the breach of the U.S. Capitol. To date, out Wisconsin Representative Mark Pocan has also voiced support for impeachment.
In other news, a gay Cayman Islander has been granted permanent residency status for the man he legally married in Ireland. The Immigration Appeals Tribunal overruled a Caymanian Status and Permanent Residency Board decision on the application for a spouse of permanent residency holder to Randall Pinder, the husband of Cayman's citizen Paul Pearson. The Cayman's Marriage Act defines marriage as between a man and a woman. However, according to the Cayman's Compass newspaper, the tribunal said in late December that the law relates only to ceremonies within the islands. As long as a couple is legally married according to the laws of the country in which the ceremony was performed, they are entitled to have that union recognized in the Caymans, the tribunal decided. According to the Compass, the tribunal allowed a gay man to be added to his male spouse's work permit as a dependent in 2017, but this is believed to be the first case involving a permanent residence application. The legal status of same-gender couples has been intensely debated in the British Overseas Territory for several years. An unequivocal ban on marriage equality was struck down by the Cayman Islands Grand Court in 2019, but that rejection was overturned by the Court of Appeal a few months later. A less-than-marriage civil partnership law for same-gender couples took effect in September.
December's British High Court decision to deny puberty blockers to trans kids under the age of 16 is being challenged. As expected, the only National Health Service agency that operates a gender identity clinic for transgender children has appealed the ruling. The ruling forced the London-based Tavistock and Portman NHS Trust to stop endocrinology referrals. In the High Court's view, most teens would be incapable of giving informed consent. It claimed that it is doubtful that 14 or 15-year-olds could understand the long-term risks and consequences of taking blockers and subsequent hormone therapy, and, highly unlikely, that even younger children could. A late December media statement by the clinic announcing the appeal assures its patients that they will continue to receive their medication until the outcome of this application to the court is known. However, the thousands on years-long waiting lists and new patients who have yet to be referred for treatment will not be able to access those medications until then. Clinical reviews of current patients will be conducted to make sure they fully understand their treatments.
In Greece, a major queer first came out of a minor cabinet reshuffle by center-right Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis. Openly gay 44-year-old Nicholas Yatramanolakis was named Deputy Minister of Culture on January 4th. The Athens native studied political science and international relations as an undergraduate and got his master's in public policy from Harvard. He's been a vocal advocate for LGBTQ equality, for protecting the mental and physical health of children, and for the social inclusion of marginalized communities. His rescue dog and ginger cat are Instagram celebrities, thanks to their proud papa.
Two transgender women were elected to local offices in India on December 30th, the first trans woman in the country to accomplish that. Devika Akka was elected to the local government in the village of Saligrama. A trans woman known as Sudha won election in Kalahalli by more than 400 votes out of about 1,000 votes cast. 46-year-old Devika told local media that, "Now that voters have placed their confidence in me, I will strive to live up to their expectations."
Finally, iconic pop star Sir Elton John has won yet another accolade. The international advocacy group Global Citizen named the outstanding queer philanthropist its Global Citizen Artist of the Year for the ongoing work of the Elton John AIDS Foundation. The award honors a creative individual or group using their platform to create change through not only conversation but also meaningful impact. A star-studded late December online event was hosted by activist entertainer John Legend, who also provided a musical performance. Carrie Underwood, Common, and Gwen Stefani also performed, and presenters included Miley Cyrus, Oprah Winfrey, John Oliver, Katie Couric, and Usher. Sir Elton confessed during his acceptance speech his feeling that,
I didn't really do enough as a gay man I should have been there with ACT UP. I should have marched. I should have been much more political than I was.
He's more than made up for that since the early 1990s, but he spoke more of the future than the past.
I'm so grateful that people know about the Elton John AIDS Foundation and consider it a wonderful organization to contribute to and to work with. But for me, it reminds me of all the work yet to do. We've got our foot on the accelerator. We cannot take it off. Thank you very much. From a 73-year-old man who still wants to work tirelessly for this, but I need you young people with me. Young people are the future of the world. We want the young people to pass a message on. And if I've got you by my side, then I think we can beat this.
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude for the 3 weeks ending January 9th, 2021. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is recording remotely during the COVID-19 emergency. It's written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappell, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And you can listen to News Wrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out radio channel on YouTube. For This Way Out, I'm John Dyer V. Stay healthy.
And I'm Tanya Kane Perry. Stay safe.
So much cooler online.
There's nothing cooler than the world's only international LGBT radio magazine.
Unless it's thiswayout.org.
At thiswayout.org, you'll find program information,
related videos,
expanded features,
News Wrap transcripts,
CDs, and downloadable materials.
It might not be cooler than radio,
but there's much more This Way Out at thiswayout.org.
Dating for LGBTQ youth is often characterized by secrecy and a need to lie to those around you. You shouldn't have to experience the dilemma of choosing between your family or choosing your partner and LGBTQ identity. No one should.
We'll find out how queer teens of today can get help navigating the twists and turns of young love after we explore the hidden world of two famous pre-liberation lesbians.
I would just like to say that it is my conviction that longer hair and other flamboyant affectations of appearance are nothing more than the male's emergence from his drab camouflage into the gaudy plumage, which is the of his sex.
That's how the musical Hair quotes Margaret Mead. But who was Margaret singing to in real life?
A stamp for Margaret Mead, a stamp for Ruth Benedict, coming up now on the Rainbow Minute. Born in Philadelphia in 1901, Margaret Mead became a leading cultural anthropologist of her time. As curator of ethnology at the American Museum of Natural History, she published the bestseller Coming of Age in Samoa. Mead often made controversial comments on women's rights, sexual morality, environmental pollution, and world hunger. Her close relationship with fellow anthropologist Ruth Benedict was profound and long-lasting. Benedict is regarded as one of the pioneers of cultural anthropology. She met Margaret Mead in 1922, and they became intimate friends bound by an intense intellectual collaboration. Both were considered the two most influential women anthropologists of their time, with Benedict being an expert in the culture of Japan. Benedict's landmark book, Patterns of Culture, sold over 1.5 million copies and was printed in 14 languages. On October 20, 1995, in Virginia Beach, Virginia, the U.S. Postal Service issued a 46-cent Ruth Benedict stamp as part of the Great American Series. They went on sale nationwide the next day. In 1998, a man pleaded guilty for counterfeiting over 9,000 Ruth Benedict stamps, telling the judge that the red and white stamp was easy to copy. On May 28, 1998, the U.S. Postal Service issued a 32-cent stamp commemorating Margaret Mead as part of its Celebrate the Century series. Mead's daughter ended up living in Hancock, New Hampshire, and in July 1999, the post office of that city held a touching ceremony. They presented Mead's daughter, Mary Bateson, and her daughter, Savan Martin Kasargian, a portrait based on Mead's stamp. The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns at WRIR in Richmond, Virginia, and read by volunteers like me, Soda Nabule, in Philadelphia.
Hello, I'm Tab Hunter. and you are listening to This Way Out, the international radio show for all of our sexually diverse communities.
Young love, young love. First love. Young love, our love, we share with deep emotion.
There are more ways for young LGBTQ people to get support for dealing with the normal woes of teenage life. The problem is that many don't know it. The Outcasting Overtime team has some suggestions from experience.
This is Outcasting Overtime from Media for the Public Good, creator of Public Radio's LGBTQ youth programs. Hi, I'm Vivian, an Outcasting youth participant. One of the guys on the Outcasting team is bisexual. Let's call him Tom. He has a gay friend we'll call Eric. Eric was pretty closeted. He wasn't out to his parents or in his school, and just a few friends knew he was gay. He was in a relationship, but after several months, he and his boyfriend broke up. He needed someone to talk with about it, but obviously he couldn't talk with his parents, so he went to Tom. But Tom didn't really know how to help. We talked about this during an Outcasting production session, and it got us thinking about how important it is to have friends and family you can confide in, like a support system, and how many LGBTQ youth don't have that. When you're young and straight and you're in a new relationship, you can talk about it with your friends and ideally your family. You can talk about how exhilarating it can be. You can talk about any awkwardnesses that come up. And talking about them can help get them resolved, making the relationships better and longer lasting. It's also a learning experience because your parents and friends may support your relationship by offering relationship advice. Being open about your relationship gives you more freedom and support as you figure out how to make the relationship succeed for you and your partner. People may congratulate you for finding someone and they'll be happy for you. They may talk about how you're a cute couple and say that you're a really good match for your partner. You can feel a sense of joy and accomplishment, as if you've become higher in status. When the two of you have a fight or something else goes wrong, you can reach out for help. Parents, friends, teachers, and counselors can be easy for you to talk with because they're comfortable with heterosexuality and heterosexual relationships. But if you're LGBTQ, your sexuality and relationships may seem foreign and even frightening to straight friends and adults in your life. Being gay or bi, you probably won't have the same support for your queer relationship that straight kids have for theirs. Straightness is very much the norm and default in society, so when you do anything that isn't in line with it, you can be seen as abnormal. This abnormality shows up in many ways. For example, when a parent asks their daughter, "When are you going to get a boyfriend?" or remarks that it is just a phase, it distances and disempowers queer youth. As an LGBTQ youth of dating age, you can face issues ranging from having your friends and family unsure about how to give you advice to even losing your friends and family entirely. In the extreme case, the simple fact that you're not straight might permanently fracture relationships with those around you. You shouldn't have to experience the dilemma of choosing between your family or choosing your partner and LGBTQ identity. No one should. But if you're LGBTQ, it can result in the loss of many relationships and a significant aspect of your social network and identity. There are a lot of harmful effects on people's mental and emotional health when these social connections are lost. That's why dating for LGBTQ youth is often characterized by secrecy and a need to lie to those around you. A lot of teenagers already keep their relationship secret from their parents if their parents are strict. LGBTQ youth often do too, but the consequences of having parents find out can be much more severe. If your parents are uncomfortable with queerness, it is a much bigger shock when they find out that you're dating someone of the same sex, let alone just dating in the first place. This puts a lot of pressure on your young relationship. When you go out on a date or just try to have a good time in public, there can be constant anxiety that someone might be watching and out you, or a sense of guilt whenever you withhold information from friends and family. Instead of having a good time and enjoying each other's presence, which is the essence of a relationship, you're preoccupied with whether you're being watched, what lies you have to tell to your parents or friends, and how you even act in public. A healthy relationship is supposed to make you feel safe and secure with all the joy and elation that comes with dating. Being anxious about who you date is the opposite of healthy teenage dating. It's even worse when you can't talk about any rocky points you may be experiencing. If you were in a straight relationship, your friends and family would know what kinds of advice to give you, but instead they may feel awkward or judgmental and may not give you any kind of helpful advice. This can make you feel estranged from them. Even if you're out to the people around you, straight people may still not feel comfortable talking about same-sex relationships around you. Whether they're simply not familiar with the unique aspects of LGBTQ dating or are actually hostile to the idea of homosexuality, it can create an uncomfortable situation for you. You may have trouble talking to friends and family because, as straight people, they may just not understand your experiences. Often, they might make insensitive comments, intentionally or unintentionally, which makes it difficult for you and your partner to feel safe or secure. If you can't talk with your parents and friends, perhaps you could talk with school personnel, including teachers and guidance counselors. But if you live in a very religious or traditional community, even teachers and other adults at school could be afraid of putting the school in a position of supporting homosexuality or supporting that kind of lifestyle. They could be hostile to you themselves. And it becomes increasingly complicated when neither you nor your partner feels comfortable or safe sharing your experiences with anyone. When you've grown up having internalized the idea that you need to hide an aspect of who you are, it is difficult to break the habit of not opening up to people. So what kinds of things can people do to make dating easier and less risky for LGBTQ youth? If you're an LGBTQ teen and you have a supportive family, it's important to educate them. Often, parents find themselves in new territory when you come out to them and will likely have a lot to learn. A quick internet search is all it really takes to find many guides for your parents and how they can help you as much as possible in your coming out journey. If you have a hostile or even potentially hostile family, it may not be safe for you to even bring up the subject. Only you can make that decision. But if you think it is safe, you can try to test the waters to see how much antipathy they have for homosexuality and see how they react to less personal things like LGBTQ politics, civil rights, ideals, music, and art. If they have a negative reaction, you can kind of show them the side not portrayed in the media. If you're on the edge about whether you should come out or not, you might say that a friend came out and see how your family reacts. Then you'll have a better idea about whether it's safe for you to come out to them. And if you feel like you have no one in your life to talk to about challenges you may be facing in terms of your identity, you should look online. There are thousands of forums dedicated to other LGBTQ teens sharing their struggles, and you can either reach out or just read about how other people cope. There's also the It Gets Better Project. It's always important to remember that you are never alone. People care about you and have gone through situations that are similar to yours. Try looking on websites like Quora or Reddit. Even comment sections on YouTube and TikTok videos can have some pretty helpful pieces of advice. Now, let's say you're a straight teenager and you have an LGBTQ friend. You should try to be there for them. Keep in mind that they're still the same person you've always known and don't treat them any differently than you treat your straight friends. Make yourself available and don't be judgmental. Be their shoulder to cry on and person to vent to and their wingman. If you're a teacher or another adult in a school, keep in mind how hard school already is for everyone, both mentally and socially. At some point, students are bound to struggle and feel ostracized. Now, try to imagine the magnified stress for LGBTQ students who may be struggling with accepting their own identities, as well as dealing with being ostracized and even bullied. Imagine how difficult it must be if they don't have people to talk to about their identity. You were once a student, and you know that concealing your true self can be draining. But imagine having to hide your sexuality or gender identity so that you are not potentially shunned by classmates. School should be a safe space, and as a teacher or school adult, you should do whatever it takes to make your LGBTQ students comfortable talking to you or other school adults about personal issues. Establishing a school Gay Straight Alliance Club, or GSA, can be a very important first step. By establishing a GSA, you're creating a specific safe space where your students don't have to come out, but where they will be able to find open-minded students and adults who accept them, who may be dealing with the same issues, or even both. And finally, if you're a parent and your child or your child's friend comes to you, you should be as supportive as you can and accept them for who they are. Encourage them to tell you how they're feeling and open up the conversation about things like dating. This might be a little uncomfortable at first, but it can be incredibly beneficial for the child. If you're not familiar or comfortable with LGBTQ issues, it can be helpful to find support and a place to go to talk about your child or child's friend, such as a support group for parents and friends of LGBTQ kids. See if there's a local PFLAG group in your area. You can find them online at pflag.org. Joining groups like these can connect you with other parents and help you deal with issues you may be going through. And it can help you understand LGBTQ youth more fully and show you how to be a great ally in their lives. At Outcasting, we've done other pieces that deal with some of these issues, including a discussion about dating while queer in high school and a conversation with parents, both of whose grown children are LGBTQ. You can listen to them on our website, outcastingmedia.org. Thanks for listening to Outcasting Overtime from Outcasting Media, creator of Public Radio's LGBTQ youth programs. Outcasting Media is a production of Media for the Public Good, based in New York. This piece was created by the Outcasting team, including Abiram, Brian, Chris, Isha, Justin, Lil, Tim, and me, Vivian. Our executive producer is Mark Sofos. Visit us at outcastingmedia.org to get information about Outcasting, watch Outcasting videos, access our social media links, and listen to Outcasting and related content. Thanks, and thanks for listening.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Tanya Kane Perry and John Dyer V, produced by Brian DeShazer, and from Sodana Buell, produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns. Joey Donovan and Tab Hunter performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks to Kicking Us that's funded the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, a bequest from Christopher David Trentum, and donors Christopher Matthews and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on WRPI Troy, New York, 2NCR South Lismore, New South Wales, KPOV Bend, Oregon, and a wide array of community, terrestrial, and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay tuned.